The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two, and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, how's that for the good news this weekend? In reality, it is good news, but we have to break it open a little bit to get to the heart. It's important to remember that all Scripture, and in particular all New Testament Scripture, was written for a very particular audience, a group of people that were having experiences and struggles, and the Scriptures were written for them to be an encouragement and a sign of hope. And when the Gospels were put together, and in particular Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there was a collection of oral stories that had been handed on. And they were starting to be put together in written form. And the evangelists had the ability to look at these stories and formulate them in such a way that they would be written for their particular audience and the struggles they were facing. And if you can imagine a first century group of people that were followers of the way, the early Christians, there was a real risk and a struggle at turning your life to Christ. You might face the loss of your family. You may face the loss of your ability to earn a living or to live in your village. You might even face the loss of your life or the life of a loved one, all because of your faith in Christ. And this particular teaching of Jesus was meant to ring out to people who were suffering that Jesus knew this was going to happen. He already told you it was going to happen. And that what we always need to remember and what they needed to remember was that while it may be painful now, the Lord is the ultimate victor and will win in the end. And also that they would never, ever, despite the darkest moments, be alone. But that His sustaining presence would be the one thing that would stay with them. And the original hearers of this part of Luke's gospel would have understood that completely. The other thing that's important to remember about Scripture is, even though it was written for a particular audience at a particular time, doesn't mean it isn't also 100% relevant to us today. And this gospel is also meant to be encouragement for us in our world, in our particular situation, at our particular time of existence. And that's a good thing. Because it is impossible to put on the evening news or to open up the newspaper without seeing some awful, heart-wrenching, disgusting things that have taken place in our church. And every time we see them, they seem to rip another piece out of our hearts, another moment where our confidence and faith get shaken. And it is not out of the realm of possibilities that people can't be apart anymore. They finally got to that one point in their life where they said, I cannot support this any longer. The reason why I know it is realistic is because I've been there 15 or 20 times in the last 2 years where I've been this close to saying, that's enough. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And I've talked about it with spiritual directors and people I trust. I've prayed about it and spent a lot of time thinking about it. Is my presence in the church today simply continuing the problem by supporting this institution we call the church? And what I keep coming back to over and over again is no. By staying a part of the church, I can do my part to change the church, to bring about a change that has to happen. And perhaps you're in that same situation as well. And it's important for us to remember that the church is not the Roman Curia, the church is not the bishops' conferences, the church is not the priests or the clergy. The church is all members of the body of Christ, the people of God, everybody gathered here. And that as the church, we have a right, and I would argue even a responsibility, to make the changes we need to make, to hold the church as institution accountable to the church that is the people of God. And that's why I am still here. And I am fully confident that the only way this change is going to take place is to begin to see things in ways we haven't seen them before. In the ways we do our governance, in the ways we do our oversight, in the participation of the laity in the governance of the church. It has to happen. There are some that want to retrench, to take us back to the church that used to be. It won't work. In fact, it can't work, and Jesus told us that. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. So the church we have to create is one that is a new wineskin, that comes fresh, that's guided by the presence of the Holy Spirit that I believe 100% is still with us, prompting us to go where we need to go in new directions, always with the love of Christ shining from our hearts. And one thing, in a very real and tangible way, I think we can do as a community of the church in Midland, Michigan, is something that you all already do extremely well. That is to be welcoming and open. You've been so welcoming and affirming to me, I can't even begin to express it. And we need to always make sure that that is the church that we proclaim. That everybody who walks in this door feels like they're not only just welcome to be here, but they're supposed to be here. They're important and wanted. We can't use a litmus test to say who is a good Catholic and who isn't. We get people in the door, we make them feel at home, and we create a family under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And then and only then can we begin to share with them the richness of our tradition, a tradition rooted in the love of God. And we can begin to talk and share about the depth of the Eucharist and how the Eucharist is meant at its very heart to day by day transform each of us into the presence of the risen Lord. We can then talk about the richness of the Scriptures that teach us and truly make Christ present in the word heard, proclaimed, and preached. And we can do it in the understanding that each one of us is a member of the body of Christ. And there's not one member that's less important than another, but we're all needed and we're all at home here. Our church has a, believe it or not, a pretty good future ahead of it, as long as we're willing to stick with it, do our part, and bring forth a new and more vibrant church.